And now we bring you Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.
My topic today, how clean is your clean? Some time back, I spent several days in the hospital to have some minor surgery taken care of. During the time I was there, I was impressed with the advances and techniques of modern medicine. And right along with modern science's quest for the most effective methods of bringing about healing was its continuing insistence upon cleanliness in every area of the hospital. For instance, when I was in surgery, I was draped in such a way as to eliminate an unsterile surface that could contaminate one of the doctors or an instrument. The surface to be operated upon was scrubbed. The surgeon scrubbed before undertaking the operation. During the surgery itself, an instrument was dropped on the floor, and immediately it was taken to the autoclave for sterilization. After the surgery, during the days of recovery, I noticed many more procedures that were designed to ensure cleanliness. Dust covers were placed over all liquids and cups. Bed linens were changed every day. Carpets and tile floors were kept clean. In short, everything possible was done to provide the right kind of an antiseptic environment that would aid good health. I know that these procedures are relatively new in medicine. Just a century ago, doctors carried out their practice without any attempt at such sanitation. But I doubt that there will ever be a return to such dark age practices. Medical science has learned that cleanliness is necessary. As I noticed these procedures, I thought it was curious that such strict procedures should be followed when the end result dealt with the preservation of a few lives. When you think about this from the standpoint of the world, a life isn't very important. As the Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. No, life is not much. And yet modern medicine devotes great stress to procedures that extend man's life often just a few months or years. The thing that struck me was the fact that Christianity in general doesn't put forth half the effort to ensure cleanliness within itself, even though the end result is of more value than this whole world put together. Mark puts it this way, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, man's eternal soul is of infinite value, and you ought to act as though this value meant something to you. Your life should be so molded that it produces an environment that would help others find Jesus Christ as their Savior. As the Apostle Peter said, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. This is your responsibility, both as an individual and as a parent. You need to have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Many a person has been encouraged to come to Jesus Christ by the testimony of a believer whose life was consistent with what he professed. And by the same token, many have been turned from Jesus Christ by the inconsistent witness of a carnal Christian. Those of you with children especially need to have a clean life. Your children know you for what you are. You don't fool them with a pious profession at church. And if you want your children to follow Christ, you need to see that your clean is really clean. You need to be in the Word, to spend time in prayer, to be active in a good fundamental church. You need to confess sin and develop habits of righteousness. God has cleansed you by the blood of His Son. Because of this, you need to live in a clean manner that will help others see their need of following Christ.
You've just heard Viewpoint with Pete Stevenson discussing the Bible's view of family relationships.